and welcome to the Public School Matters podcast presented by the North Carolina Association of School Administrators. I'm Catherine Joyce, NCASA's Executive Director, and joining me as she does for each episode is Legal Affairs and Policy Manager Elizabeth Yelverton. Together, we talk about the legislative and policy news affecting our public schools in North Carolina.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in. So it's been a little while since our last podcast episode, but Catherine and I are back and just in time to give you a preview of some of the topics that we expect will be discussed during the North Carolina 2024 short session.
We're back like a bad penny. But as of the date of this recording, the 2024 short session is scheduled to kick off in just a couple of weeks on April 24th. And while we don't know exactly what the legislature plans to tackle this session, we do have some pretty good ideas of some of the topics that might be on the list.
Yep, our state legislators have definitely been dropping a few hints at events and press conferences across the state lately. And one thing that we keep hearing is that this short session will indeed be short.
That's right. And we, as lobbyists, know that a short legislative session can be both good and bad. Good, because there's less time for lawmakers to introduce potentially problematic legislation. And bad, well, for the same reason, because they will have less time to take up the legislative priorities that we are pursuing.
Well, speaking of legislative priorities, Catherine, why don't we start our episode there? So this session, we have three main advocacy focus areas, with the first being recruitment and retention, the second being K-12 accountability system reform, and the third being adequate and equitable resources.
Just as a reminder, these short session priorities were developed based on legislation we saw introduced and or passed during the 2023 long session last year, including the state budget, which lawmakers passed last October.
That's right, Catherine. And in terms of our legislative priorities, the budget actually did include pay raises for teachers and administrators. And those raises were retroactive to the July 1st, 2023 start of that fiscal year, even though, you know, now we're looking at the upcoming fiscal year. And that budget actually already provided or slated in additional pay raises of roughly 3%. Like I said, for the upcoming fiscal year that is supposed to begin this July 1st.
But even though legislators have pay raises already on the horizon, we're continuing to advocate for even higher pay raises on behalf of our members, with the goal ultimately of raising principal and teacher pay to the highest in the Southeast by 2026.
Well, I think that's a goal that everyone in our state should be supportive of, Catherine. Especially when we've seen some pretty substantial increases to educator pay in our surrounding states. But I do want to take an extra minute to focus specifically on principal pay, since we at NCASA and our core affiliate, the NC Principals and Assistant Principals Association, or NCPAPA, we have been spending a lot of time advocating for improvements to the current principal pay plan.
And hopefully all of our hard work will pay off this session, Elizabeth. We could spend a whole episode just going over the principal pay proposal. And just so you know, folks, that very well may be in the works. So stay tuned if you're interested in that topic. But to keep things simple for this episode, in a nutshell, the proposal we're requesting for principals would do four things. First, it would recognize not just the size of the school, but also how complex the school is to lead. Second, it would reduce the potential for wide swings in principal pay based on student performance. Third, it would provide a retention supplement based on years of experience as a principal. And fourth, it would tie the principal salary schedule to the assistant principal and teacher salary schedules to reflect a true career progression.
And that's definitely the elevator pitch version of the proposal, Catherine. So if you're listening and you didn't quite understand all of the things that we just threw out there, that's okay. We are hoping to dive deeper into this specific legislative priority following our upcoming Principal Advocacy Day, where we are hoping to have a bunch of principals come and advocate for the principal pay plan at the state legislature. And that is tentatively scheduled right now for May 1st. So if you are a public school principal in North Carolina, please check out our website or the NC PAPA website to register for this event. So we make sure we have some resources for you. And then also just to check out some resources that we already have available up there.
Yes, thanks for sharing that, Elizabeth. We definitely need as many boots on the ground as we can get for that important advocacy effort. And even if you're not a public school principal, I think you will definitely be interested in our next advocacy focus area for the 24 short session. That's K-12 accountability system reform. This section covers ongoing work such as modifying our state school performance grade system, in which a single letter grade of A through F is issued to each school, as well as our request to make some slight tweaks to the new early graduate program created by the 2023 state budget.
And just like with the principal pay proposal, we don't want to dive too deep here. We could have a whole separate episode, I think, on just, you know, each of these priorities. But I do think we should take a minute to note that the current state superintendent, Catherine Truitt, and her team at NCDPI, they actually unveiled a couple of months ago a new proposal for the school performance grade system that would actually replace our current system, which, like you mentioned, provides each school with one letter grade, and that is based on 80% student proficiency and 20% student growth. So the proposal that her and her team recently shared would actually provide each school with four separate letter grades, and that would be based on numerous factors relating to student success.
And I think many educators across the state would see this new model as a step in the right direction. But unfortunately, the future of this proposal is very much up in the air right now, since Superintendent Truitt lost her primary race in March. And there seems to be just a bit of hesitation at the General Assembly with passing a major change like this without knowing exactly who will be at the helm of DPI, the Department of Public Instruction, to lead implementation of a new program like that.
That's definitely a good point, Catherine, but also a good reminder to our listeners to make sure that you are registered to vote and that you are researching the candidates that will be on your ballot in November.
Educators, please do your homework and check out those candidates. This election is truly, truly important for public education. Probably as you think about that, you should also keep in mind that education traditionally makes up the biggest portion of our state budget, and whether it's funded on the state level adequately or not, then that also can trickle down to local funding requests. So it's also very important to look at your local Board of Education, county commissioner, and other local candidates who might have a stake in education funding for your individual school or your school district.
Well, and speaking of funding, Catherine, that is a great segue into our final advocacy focus area, which is adequate and equitable resources for schools and districts. And as it might sound, this area covers important budgetary and funding topics, such as enhancing funding for children with disabilities and providing more state funding to cover additional assistant principals serving in larger schools.
And on the children with disabilities funding request, we've actually seen a proposal from the Department of Public Instruction the past few months that would call for serving all students with disabilities based on the level of services they need, rather than the state just providing one flat rate or the same amount for all students identified as having special needs. The only catch with that is that we're hearing this is estimated to cost $200 million in additional funding. And we've already been hearing that the state budget for 2024-2025 will be basically flat with little opportunity for expansion funding. So that may be causing a problem on that topic for action in the 2024 short session.
Ooh, that sounds great, Catherine, but you're right. That is a large price tag. But just to play devil's avocado for a little, that's right. I said avocado. The devil has enough advocates. That $200 million or so that's needed to fully serve all K-12 students with special needs, that's still less than the roughly $300 million it would take to fund all students that are currently on the wait list for private school vouchers. That's right. I said private school vouchers too.
You did. And you are right on point, Elizabeth. We have seen recent comments from legislative leadership saying they would be looking to possibly expand funding for the private school vouchers, even beyond what was already set as a funding increase for the coming 24-25 school year. And as a reminder, the 2023 state budget expanded that program so that would be almost to the tune of just under $200 million for that that next school year, as well as expanding eligibility so that any student in the state can participate no matter what level of income their family has. Even billionaires can participate in getting a state-funded private school voucher.
That's right, Catherine. And I think we should make clear that we're not against alternatives to public schools, but we do want to make sure parents are making fully informed choices when they're considering these alternatives. And just from a fiscal perspective, I think a lot of legislators, educators, and taxpayers in general agree that we need to really look at increasing the accountability and transparency of this program, because right now there really isn't any, before we look at adding hundreds of millions in even a more additional funding.
Exactly, Elizabeth. You are preaching to the choir on that one. Because at the end of the day, if we take state funding from traditional public schools and ship it over to fund private schools instead, our public school students aren't going to have the educational opportunities and level of services that they deserve.
And no one wants that, Catherine. But before we wrap up our episode today, I just wanted to briefly mention some of the other hot topics that we might see come up during the 24 short session, like the Parents' Bill of Rights.
Good idea, Elizabeth. Based on feedback from our members, we are seeking a technical correction to the Parents' Bill of Rights that's focused mostly on the parental consent requirement. Specifically, we would like to see the language changed from parental consent or opt-in needed to instead having an opt-out for things like participation in student suicide risk surveys, threat assessment questions, and student dental and vision screenings. Many of the things that our state would really like to see broad participation by students, and getting that opt out would ensure more wide scale participation. That's really important in serving those students.
Yeah, we definitely want to make sure that we are able to offer these services to our students. And I think these are some pretty straightforward and common sense tweaks to the bill. So hopefully we'll have some good news to share on this front by the end of the session.
Definitely hope so. And in addition to tweaks to the Parents' Bill of Rights, we're also hearing talks of some proposals like an artificial intelligence or AI pilot program, early math education reform, expansion of the Advanced Teaching Roles program, and even funding for more school counselors.
Well, it may be a short session, Catherine, but like every legislative session, we are definitely not short on issues to keep track of.
You've got that right, Elizabeth. And for those of you listening that would like to keep up with the issues and more that we're following in the 2024 short session, make sure you're following advocacy news events on our website at ncasa.net.
And make sure to also follow us on Twitter at ncasatweets. For live updates from the legislature, the State Board of Education, and more.
You've been listening to Public School Matters with the North Carolina Association of School Administrators. To stay up to date on legislation and policy news affecting K-12 education, We hope you will subscribe to this podcast and join us for future episodes. Thank you for helping us ensure that each public school matters.